Welcome to the podcast, Just Saying. I'm Joe McCormick, your host, and it's almost here. We are in episode 352. The book Quiet Works drops tomorrow, October 15th. I am really, really excited. We are completing a three-part series here called Q&A on Quiet Works, where I'm going through the book, and I'm hitting each chapter, each section, and pulling out questions from each one, and answering them the best that I can to help tee up this book and how it can help you. Over the past few weeks, I've made an offer. The offer stands. It's not going to stand forever. But if you want a signed copy of the book Quiet Works, you can send me an email at jmccormack, J-M-C-C-O-R-M-A-C-K, at thequietworkplace.com. And I will send you a signed copy of the book as long as you give me a good address. And if you like the book, if you find it helpful, with one condition: write a review online about the book. And wherever you write a review, buy a copy of the book there, Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble, wherever. And then when you get your book, give it to somebody. Pay it forward. Somebody that you think could benefit from the book. I wrote it not for notoriety, not to make the New York Times bestseller list. I wrote it to complete a trilogy around how to help you become an intentional communicator in a world filled with noise. And it's very, very difficult to communicate nowadays. To communicate well is very difficult. So 10 years ago, it started with Brief. And that's all about being a clear and concise communicator. And I started the Brief Lab. 5 years ago, I wrote the book Noise, which is the environment that we live in. We still live in. And it's very, very distracting. It's distractible. There are devices that constantly call for our attention. And there's disruptions, self-induced, all of the above. And that's really the enemy that you need to be focusing on if you want to have clarity. And then this book, Quiet Works, which is your shield to protect you from the noise. And my hope is that this book encourages you and gives you a very simple, practical way to make silence the secret ingredient of the day, of the workday. And to finish out this Q&A, we are now firmly in part 4 and 5 of the books. These last two parts of the book. And part 4 is titled Quiet Places and Programs. And in it, I start to lay out a vision for, you know, where would you get this kind of work done, and how can we teach ourselves, each other, how to make these practices of quiet part of the day. Well, you can't do it alone. Maybe doing it together is a better way, and I've outlined that. So let's, like we've done in the previous two episodes, in part 1 and part 2, we're going to do the same thing in this final podcast, going through some questions. So chapter 14 is entitled Creating a Culture of Quiet. And where quiet is how you work. It's the way you work. You work much more deliberately. Your culture was noise, and now it becomes a culture of quiet. You become a quiet workplace where you deliberately work in ways that are effective because you think alone and you plan alone and you respect each other. And when you come to collaborate, the collaboration is significantly better. So the question is, in chapter 14, how can leaders encourage a culture of quiet without compromising communication and collaboration? And I think the first thing is you have to talk about, the organization needs, the leaders need to talk about the value of time alone and how precious that is, how important it is for people to think at work as a contributor to clarity and collaboration. It's the irony is, if you want to work better together, leaders need to let people work alone. And if you don't do that, if you always throw them into the pool of collaboration, there's no time to think at work. And if you're not thinking at work, you're being reactionary. It's not deliberate. It's not intentional. The movement is always to collaboration, and you can never move out of it. So I think leaders need to talk about the value of time alone as a really, really important thing that's missing, and how quiet will enable that, and giving people the permission and the places to go for quiet to get that important deep work done. Okay, that was chapter 14, but now chapter 15 is Quiet Works for Leaders. Okay, so from, it starts from the top down, right? Going it alone. The question is what are some challenges leaders might face when trying to carve out quiet time in their own busy schedules? There are a number of challenges. One is that you have to feel like you're always available. To be a leader is to have an open door policy, to constantly be at the beck and call of your subordinates, of your team, of your organization. Though that is very, very important, you need to protect time on your calendar every day as a non-negotiable. It needs to be on your calendar and it needs not to come off the calendar. It's critical that you have these blocks of time scheduled in advance that you protect. Why? Because you can't lead if you haven't thought about what you're doing, why it's important, what you're saying, and how it's going to play out in action. If that's proactive, chance of success, pretty high. Not guaranteed. If it's reactionary, chance of success, pretty low, if not impossible, because you can't react your way into success. And that's a challenge that leaders face. I would add that it may require a very drastic change of mindset for the leader. In some leaders' mindsets are like, quiet isn't possible for me. It might be possible for other people, but in my job and my circumstances, in my line of work and what I do, quiet's not possible because it's just, I have to be collaborating all the time. I think you need to change your mindset. I think it is possible. I think it's difficult, but I think it's possible. Don't think that you're unique. Many leaders feel the same way. Start, I know the challenge, you start too big. Don't start so big. Start small. Start with 10 minutes. 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the afternoon. Start with a minute after a call, a minute before a call. Stop believing that collaboration and connectivity are king. They're not. Thinking is critical. We don't think enough. We don't have enough time alone, and we collaborate carelessly. Start thinking of the risks that you have as a leader of being scattered and how you affect the people below you when you don't value this thing called quiet time. Those are some challenges, pretty serious ones, actually. All right, let's go to chapter 16, which is Quiet Works for Teams. This is a bottom-up approach. The question here is, how can team members encourage quiet within their teams, even if the organizational culture doesn't naturally support it? In other words, the leader doesn't believe in this, but the team wants it. What can we do as a team? I think one of the best things that teams could do, honestly, is to buy the book, Quiet Works, and read it together as a book club. If you really want to make that powerful, call us, send an email to thequietworkplace.com, info@thequietworkplace.com, and have us lead a Quiet Works for Teams program. If you've taken Brief, we have a program called Quiet Works for Brief Teams, and we'll hold you accountable. They're 4 to 6 week programs. You read the book, you do practical exercises every week, you meet in small group, you talk about how to change the culture from the bottom up, take charge, do something. Set a time. I think teams could also set aside times and places that work for them. Maybe a conference room at a certain time of day, or maybe some cubicles over in the corner that aren't being used, and we could say those are quiet places. Give yourself places and times. And then finally, respect each other's boundaries. If you say that, like, hey, the first half hour of the day from 8 to 8:30 is quiet time, or the last hour of the day is quiet, or maybe Friday afternoons, or you pick these times, respect them. If a person puts a do not disturb sign on their door and the computers, don't disturb them if they told you not to disturb them. Unless it's an absolute critical emergency, respect their boundaries. That's how quiet works for teams. Okay, chapter 17, Quiet Works for Coaching, the missing puzzle piece for breakthroughs. I loved writing this chapter, in particular because there's a couple of coaches that we worked with early on. This is a couple of years ago. Developing a Quiet Works coaching program. It was a certification program. It still exists. If you want information on it, send me an email at jmccormack@thequietworkplace.com and I'll connect you to the right people. This is really great for me. I've benefited from coaches, from coaching relationships. I currently have one with a guy who's incredibly helpful. I've met and have relationships with coaches right now that are part of our Quiet Works coaching cohorts. Amazing if you can have a great coaching relationship in Quiet Works for Coaches was an early insight that I had. And the question is how can quiet time enhance the effectiveness of coaching and mentoring relationships? Said another way is how can it help the coach and the coachee or the person that's being coached? And the answer is, in a coaching relationship, in the conversations you might have as a coach or with your coach, whether it's a leadership coach, a performance coach, or an executive coach, is chances are you haven't spent enough quiet time preparing for that conversation because you're so busy. So you show up at the conversation, and what generally happens is you get to the meat of the matter, the really good stuff, at the end of the conversation because you haven't thought about it enough preparing for the conversation. So if you want to make those conversations really impactful, spend quiet time preparing for them as a coach and as a client. Non-negotiable. And what I want to point your attention to, and like I said, this is one of the most motivating, exciting chapters because I've benefited and I'm blessed to have worked with some great coaches that are part of this QuietWorks coaching network that we're building. And we developed this tool, and I'm going to share it with you. It's called a Quiet Worksheet. This is a tool for coaches and their clients to prepare for the coaching conversation. And it's a mind map, so if you're familiar with brief and brief maps, this is a visual outline, but it's in a quiet format. So let me just walk you through, and if you want to go online, just go online in our resources section at thequietworkplace.com, and you can download these. In this worksheet, it asks you for the main issue, which is, in essence, you know, what's the primary topic that I'd like to discuss? In any coaching relationship, what topic are you bringing to the conversation? We got to think about it. What do you want to talk about? I want to talk about my financial situation that's giving me stress, or the fact that I multitask, or whatever issue that you're bringing. That what's the topic? If you don't know what the topic is, the conversation will go. Most coaches will ask a lot of questions, not provide a lot of solutions, and the topic will emerge at the end of the conversation. Well, if you've thought about it in advance, you bring the topic, so that's answered. And then on this worksheet, it's a visual outline. It spells the word works, and each of those letters stands for something. So the W is, you know, why is this topic important to me? That's the W. What's the O? What's the outcome? You know, what do I want out of the conversation today? R, reframing it. Is there a different way of looking at the issue or the topic? K, key details. You know, what background or information can I share on this topic? And then S is, what support do I need moving forward from the coach or from others to help me resolve the topic or address it or go deeper on it? So it's a quiet worksheet. It's done in quiet as the client to prepare for the conversation. And I tell you, if you do this, those conversations are really going to be impactful. If it's an hour, in my case, I have a one hour and 15-minute coaching conversation with an executive coach once a month, and I prepare them in quiet, the more I prepare in quiet, the better the conversations are. And they're really rich because a good coach is going to ask you a lot of questions. You're going to do some thinking. And I would recommend in that coaching relationship, the preparation, and beyond that, using quiet after the conversation if you're a coach. Yes, as a client for sure, but if you're a coach, you need to take, because you're busy too, time to think about that conversation you just had with your client and all the things that they told you. I've also worked with bad coaches. Bad coaches end up having, it's like Groundhog's Day. You're having the same conversation over and over again because they're not taking good notes and they don't take quiet to review their notes after the conversation, for sure, to synthesize what they heard, organize it, and also bring it to the next conversation as a kind of a refresh or a reframe. So quiet works for coaches. Absolutely. One of the most important chapters of the book? Absolutely. I highly recommend you read it and reread it. And if you don't have a coaching relationship, you might want to look for one. Again, send me an email, jmccormack@thequietworkplace.com, and I'll put you in contact with one of our Quiet Work certified coaches who can help you immensely. Okay, we're into part 5, which is the last part of the book, Quiet Challenges. And here's in chapter 21. It's called Professional Leaders Predict a Payoff, and it's around questions, comments, and challenges and observations. And here's the question: what are the long-term payoffs of incorporating quiet into leadership and organizational practices? And I'm going to hit on 3 words: think, say, do. You've heard of the say-do ratio. I say something and then I do it. Well, if you could, in this order, be very deliberate to move from I think about things, I say them clearly and concisely, and then I do them, If you do that and your organization does that, you can really, really have impact. There's not a lot of thinking because there's not a lot of quiet. There's a lot of talking, and talk is cheap. Brief can fix that. If you're not thinking and you're talking poorly, it's going to create scattered results, and the organizations are really inefficient and ineffective. Think, say, do. In that order. So here we are. We've covered the Q&A on Quiet Works, part 1, 2, and 3 of the last 3 weeks. It's here. The book is here. When you read Quiet Works, dive in, share it, make quiet a deliberate part of your day. I promise you, and this is a bold promise, it will change you for the better as a communicator, as a professional, and as a person. Just saying.